About it later. Okay, that's fine.
You can hear my voice over just about anything. Train or a tornado or no comment from anybody else. Hebrews 11. Now we've been speaking on the statue of a perfect man. And we know that the foundation is faith. It's real wide at the bottom. So we must get this right before we keep going on. That's why it's been 17 little mini sermons on the statue of a perfect man, just to get us to faith. And now we go to the great faith chapter, Hebrews 11, because you've got to have faith. We were talking about last week. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you can't even see. How many of us saw Jesus die? How many of us saw the prophet in person? Frida did. Only one. And George. Only two. There's two people in this whole room that actually saw the prophet alive. The rest of us didn't. So to us, it's hearsay. Come on, it's hearsay.
Right.
Because did you see it? No, you didn't see it. But by the eye of faith, I believe that Jesus was walking on the earth. I believe he died at Calvary. I believe he rose. I believe there's an empty tomb. And I believe he came back on the day of Pentecost. None of that we can prove by scientific fact or by video. Can't prove that. Right? So you must have faith. And that's the foundation. We got to have faith. The evidence of things not seen. Remember, God does it. Then he reveals it. Then you see it. God does it. Reveals it to you that it's done. And then he makes it manifest through you, or through an evidence of praying for your children, or praying for your spouse, or praying for your family. And then God gives you a revelation like he did that. He was, you know, many years ago, that I was going to come back to the Lord. Well, there was no physical evidence that that was ever going to take place. I was out in the world. I was doing the things of the world. I wasn't coming to church. I wasn't claiming nothing. Right? But God showed a man, gave him a revelation, and then it became manifest. Well, now you see, now he can say that his faith has been manifested in what he sees. Same way with all of us. And you can take that not just for your family, or not for but for any situation. Anything. We must be the greatest faith believers in the world, even when we can't see it. Because remember, the Bible says, and we'll not get into it today, the Bible says that if hope is already seen, in other words, it's not hope anymore. Daddy hopes that I was coming back to the Lord. No, he can't stand up and say, well, I hope he's coming back. The evidence is right here. The evidence will be seen. It says the evidence of things not seen. That's the beginning of your faith. You must believe it before you see it. If you see it, why do you need faith? We have faith for a body change. It's laying in the Word. It's laying in the books and tapes. But do we see it? No. We're getting older. Gray-headed. Which used to be real black. Head now gray. I don't like him though. He's thinner than the last time I saw him. Just a Rachel must be not feeding him very well. It's just wonderful to see you, man. Wouldn't have got up this morning if I'd have had 10 people to figure out a scene. You weren't one of the 10. So. But good to see you. We had some good times together. So. But see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's your substance, faith. Brother Ram said, you got to have faith. And we got to have faith in this statue of a perfect man that Peter tells us. He says, add to your faith. Right. Not God's faith. God's got faith. God is faith. Mm-hmm. He just believes when he speaks it'll happen. And you know what? It does.
That's right.
Amen. And what Brother Ram said about the evidence of things by saying, for the elders obtained a good report. Now watch.
Get over here.
God didn't have one piece of substance except what he was. Everybody understand that? All he had was him. He didn't have a world to take a piece off of and make an earth. When he said it, it appeared. Alright? So you and I are going to, that's the same faith you and I are going to have, because Abraham was the father of our faith, but my heavens, look how many times he stumbled. But when Paul writes a commentary of Abraham's life, he never mentions that he gave his wife away twice. Twice. Once after the body came.
Yeah.
Okay? Once before and once after. So he was still in the flesh. But it happened. When you get Paul's commentary of what Abraham says, Abraham, he says Abraham was strong in faith, believing the promise. Yes. What was Paul doing? Paul was looking back through the blood of Jesus Christ, and all those were clean. Because, man, they were pretty bad. These people we're going to read about, if you were to read into their commentary of their life, pretty rotten people. David had his best friend killed, committed adultery. Abraham went with Hagar. Abraham laughed at God. He didn't just laugh in his heart. The Bible said he got down on his face and laughed at God. But you know what, though? Abraham made it to the end. He just believed. There was something in Abraham that said, okay, I don't have the substance with me. And as he got older, he definitely knew he couldn't perform physically. So he knew. I believe he got stronger in faith as he went along in his own self, whether the worldly things happened to him or not. He believed that he was going to have that child. And then at the end, he said, okay, God, if I'm going to have it, you're going to have to do it. Well, if he would have said that at first, see, if we would have said that at first, we would add virtue, knowledge, temperance. Because the Bible says add to your faith. So it's got to be your faith.
Right.
Brother Bram said, this is my eye. God gave it to me. He didn't just say that stuff to Philip Tate. He said, this is my eye. God gave it to me. Now it's mine. This is my Holy Ghost. It come from God. It was God. It is God. But once he give it to me, it's mine.
Right.
And he expects you to do what that Holy Ghost says. Because remember, you can grieve it. The Bible says you can grieve it. Brother Bram said he'd go out on a limb. Yeah, it doesn't mean he comes out of you and goes somewhere. No. Once you have the Holy Ghost, you got it for life. Amen. That's your eternal destination. God can't take it away from you. But Brother Bram said the Holy Ghost is a gentleman.
Right.
He's very timid. So what will he do? He will withdraw himself from you. In an example, listen, just this is an example, because Saul did not have the Holy Ghost. Remember, nobody in this Old Testament had the Holy Ghost in their soul.
Right.
So Jesus hadn't died to release the life. Okay? It'll tell you in a minute, if we get down to it. It says, they all having a good report did not receive the promise. Well, what was the promise? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the promise to the believer. Okay? So they didn't have the new birth. They had an anointing, just like the anointed ones at the end time. Same example. That anointing would come down on David. David could speak in the first person, they pierced my hands and my feet. Anointing would leave him. He'd go get into bed with a girl and commit adultery. That does not happen to a born-again believer. Right? So there's your difference. Okay? But it will to an anointed one. All right. So you take that and you see Abraham and you see the ones that had an anointing on them. Now we know that, like I said, when Paul looks back through the blood of Jesus, it cleansed every one of them. But it did not give them the Holy Ghost as a possession.
Right.
Bible says in John 5, they hadn't received the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost wasn't given yet, because Jesus hadn't, in other words, been glorified or died to release that life. But they had a promise that they were heading toward.
Amen.
But you look at Saul. Now listen, Saul will be there.
Right.
Everybody understand that?
Right.
The Bible said if Samuel made it, Saul made it.
That's right.
And if Saul was listed with the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
But remember what Saul said. He said, Samuel said, the Spirit of God has left you. Or I think Saul even said himself, the Spirit of God has left me.
Right.
Well, now, it didn't leave him and leave him alone. He just couldn't feel that anointing. He had grieved that anointing away from him. But he was counted with the prophets. And when he died, he stood there with Samuel. Because Samuel said, tomorrow you'll be with me. So wherever Samuel was, that's where Saul went. So you see all these things that Saul did. And the same thing with you and I. we can get the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. Because the new birth and the Holy Ghost, you have to be careful, because you can have the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham said,
right,
on your spirit, spirit man, just an anointing, every day of your life, just like he did with these in the Old Testament, and die and go to hell. Why? Because it's not a new birth.
That's right.
A new birth is a dying and a new life.
Amen.
Okay? See, Abraham didn't have a dying and a new life. Abraham was Abraham. He just had faith to believe what somebody said.
That's right.
It's like and I'm like that. I believe God couldn't have just picked Abraham and said, Abraham's going to be my man, and he's the one that's going to do it. That's a respecter of person. There's no telling how many people God spoke to and said, get up and get out of this country. Abraham was the only one that said, okay, I'll do it. I'll get up and leave. Okay, if not, then God's a respecter of persons. But let's read this and read through this chapter and kind of comment on the people, because you're going to have to realize whether you just have a Holy Ghost anointing or the new birth, because you know what? Anointing ones at the end time is here.
Right.
It's in full manifestation. Mm-hmm. We see it now. All these people that, you know, preach 10 or 12 years and then all of a sudden turn the message out, say it's wrong, say it's false. The dude didn't have a new birth.
That's exactly right.
I'm sorry. It's Rod Bergen and Jeremy Bergen, and I'll name them because I don't care. They're just filth. To me, they're just filth. They're causing people to turn away from this message, the greatest thing, and they walked in the shadow of it.
Right.
Actually, they didn't walk in the shadow. They walked in the light of it. But they walked with an anointing.
Right.
Not with that faith like at the bottom of that pyramid. So there's no way they can grow in the stature of God, because somewhere along the line, and it's happening now, somewhere along the line, you'll see them manifest who they really are. All right? So we see people like that, and some of these people getting on the internet, you know, but they just don't have faith. They don't have the new birth.
That's right.
Because the new birth will take. Brother Branham said, and we read the quote a couple weeks ago. Brother Branham said, without the new birth, you'll fight.
That's right.
You'll fight the word. And fight the word, and fight the word, and fight the word. See, if you're a word fighter, that means you're a word rejecter.
Right.
And word rejectors go to hell. That's what the prophet said, pretty plain and simple.
Is that where the scripture says they'll come up falling away first?
That's correct.
You shouldn't be so surprised. We shouldn't be so surprised when we see.
No, we should not be surprised, but I'm surprised who it come from.
That's right. That's what.
That's what I'm surprised is who it's come from.
Right.
I thought maybe it would be those mate believers, which they were mate believers, but the ones maybe in the congregation. But then you got to go back and say the scripture where they come up to Jesus and, you know, in the end and the judgment, and they say, have I not done mighty works,
right,
cast out devils? That's preachers. So you got to get into the preacher ranks. Because see, if the devil can get the preacher, he's got you. If the devil can get dad, he's got every one of us, because we can't go no higher than the pastor. Right? So he's a target. I'm a target. All ministers are targets. Because if he can get them... See, if Rod Bergen was just a lay member in Brother Biscoe's church, if he was just somebody who came to church and worked and didn't say much and was kind of unassuming, he wouldn't have the power he has to get on the internet and say what he does. Why? Because he walks so close. Judas walked so close,
right,
till even the other 11, when he did what he did, the other 11 had no clue what he was doing. Right?
That's right.
Psalm 1, I question this with that. Psalm 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now they're hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard a few weeks ago. I didn't hear. You are standing in the way of sinners. That's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, who would that be today? The scornful. Is that who you're talking about?
Well, that's what they're doing, aren't they? They're saying the message is not right. They're saying Brother Branham this and that and the other. Listen, there's one thing for sure. The Holy Ghost will not do that.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost will not turn down the word. Now, listen, this is where we're going to still stay on faith, but we're still going to be on the new birth, because faith is the new birth. Alright? There's times when you cannot understand. That's why you need virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. You get all that. But like I said last week, and I hope you got the analogy. The Holy Ghost is like a capsule that you take for a pill. Right? What's inside that capsule will do you good. But it won't do you any good if it doesn't get outside that capsule. And that's the same way. This is the capsule. Everybody understand what I'm saying? There's powder inside that pill. You can take it apart and look in it, and you know it's got the good stuff. But it's encapsulated or enclosed by glycerin, right? And then when that gets in your stomach and warms up, it dissolves and it lets the good stuff out. Same way with God. When you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the new birth, you get all the goods. Right? You get all the goods you need. Brother Bram said you need get everything you need for the journey. But remember, let's go back to where Brother Bram preached, doors and doors. He said, even when you let God in your house, he said, there's a door here of pride. There's a door here of prejudice. There's a door here. He named a lot of doors. Well, you know what? God's not going to, remember, he's a gentleman. He's timid. If you say, God, don't go in that door, he'll say, okay. He said, but you'll not get the blessings of me cleaning that door, of me cleaning that room out. You're not going to get the blessings of that. And that's going to be your dirty laundry for the rest of the time if you're going to keep that. Right? That's why the baptism of the Holy Ghost is so ill taught and ill understood. You've got to, you can have problems in your life. Come on, people. We have problems. We have, and then we look, you know, we say, well, that brother and sister there, they're having trouble. They must not be born again. Well, no, they're just humans.
That's right.
They're humans. That's the capsule you're looking at.
That's right.
But see, then you see the manifestation is if they quit coming to church, if they get, you know, separate, get a divorce, and if they keep doing those things that are not right, you can say, hey, they never got a birth. But not at first. That's why you got to have patience. That's why all this patience is there. You just got to let it out. Patience is, the Holy Ghost is patience. But see, remember what I said about, this is the way I say it, not changing the Word of God, but I believe reading between the lines. The Bible says, add to your faith. All right, let's change that. Add to what you believe. Because it's just what you believe. It's based on an individual affair with God. It's what you believe. Add to what you believe virtue. Add to what you believe knowledge, because you'll only have as much knowledge as you can believe.
That's right.
The people in the dark ages, all they had was just enough to get enough light to know that Jesus died for their sins and to know that there was a message brought by Columba. Probably didn't hear him in person, because remember, the messenger always comes at the end of the age and then brings it, and there's a 1500 year age there in Columbus time, so you know they didn't hear him physically speaking. But they believe what he said. They died. They're waiting on us. But they have the new birth just like you do. There's not different levels of the new birth. Now there's different levels of this stature of a perfect man that we here on the earth. It's not just that you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and then you go on vacation. No, you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you start your job. And you don't get a vacation. Because Satan don't believe in vacation. He's there at church when you're not. All right? So, we're not going to get through this. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, dirt, pottery, or aluminum, metal, rubber, car. See, that's what we do. We take things that's already done. Well, see, that's easy. That's not faith. That's just human knowledge to put things together. You and I today have to have faith in something that we absolutely can't hold in our hand. Sure, we can hold it in our hand. But do we believe what's in it, right? Do we believe what's in it is for you? Not for somebody else, for you. Okay? That's why I said many times, all those people in the Old Testament, the Bible says, were given for example. So take their name out and put your name in the journeys of life. Take your name out. Take David's name out and stick your name in. Take Solomon's name out and stick your name in. Those things that we're talking about in the book of Proverbs. Because he's talking about my son. He's talking about his walk in life. He talks about his daddy. David. Well, put that in there for yourself, because it's the Bible's talking to you. If not, it's a history book. Just a good old history book that we read about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. But this is somebody that George Washington and Abraham Lincoln can't come back inside of you and make you act like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
But the man that wrote this can actually come back into you and make you this.
Amen.
Only that's the only man that can ever do that. And that's Jesus Christ, or the Christ. Right? Which do appear. For by faith, comes that stinking security thing again. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. In other words, he lived a greater sacrificial life than Cain. Right? Because Cain, Brother Brown, you go back and you listen to what Brother Brown said about Cain. Cain was not a bad person. Cain was very religious. Cain was not one that didn't go to church. He probably went to church more than Abel did. Church, as far as they had church, which was altar worship. Right? So Cain and Abel were equal when it come to that. But he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Right there. There's the gifts that God gave us right there. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance. Those are gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Remember it said the blood speaks out of the earth. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, not after, before his translation. We're not going to live for God afterwards.
That's right.
We'll be God afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be like God before.
Amen.
And there's the good report. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Mm-hmm. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is what? God.
Exactly.
Must believe that he's God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that the one God doctrine had to be brought back into the church. Because which one are you going to believe? The Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost?
Right.
Which one are you going to believe in?
Because right.
That's what they do out in the denominational world, you know. Oh, they believe on Jesus who speaks to God for us, and you know, they're just as Catholic is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they believe in three persons of the Godhead and all this stuff. That's why Brother Branham had to come back. That's why a prophetic prophet had to come break the word back down for us, put it back to where it was supposed to be. What? Zerubbabel built the foundation, right? Brother Branham had to come and put that foundation back together, sweep it off, get it ready, because there's no way, Brother Isaac, there's no way that you could have attained what Peter said in the first age, because it had been eaten and corroded so much. So God was still working. God was still working in the people, but there was no way to put that statue of a person. I mean, who in the world would even... Even Peter, I was telling him the other day, realized that Peter didn't do that. Peter didn't make a chart and show what we needed. Peter just said, once you get this, you need to add this. Once you get this, you need to add this. Once you get this, you need to add this. But then we had a prophet come in, put it in the word, that it was a mountain, a pyramid mountain, and showed where the capstone was. Because remember, the cornerstone had been rejected, which was the headstone, really, which was Christ. It had been took off, and what? Down through the ages, there's no way man could get to that.
That's right.
Why? Because the denominational weeds and creeds had grown up through it. Still, there was weed in there. It had a lot of tares. So it had to come to the end time to where you took a prophet. And see, I can understand this. And then when you look at people that Caleb, as an example of the end time believer, Caleb had nothing. He had no inheritance of any part of the land. And I believe Joshua just looked at him and said, hey man, you've been with me this whole time. What do you want? Well, first thing Caleb said was, he said, I've been eyeing that mountain right over there.
Amen.
And I like that mountain.
Amen. Yeah.
I like that mountain.
Yeah.
But you know what he done? He didn't just walk over there and say, I'm Caleb, get off my mountain. Did he? The Bible said he fought for the Ites and Hivites and Levites, not the Levites, but the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Websites. My brother Kidry Diggs said, he said, you fight all these Ites? He said, now we're fighting the Websites. So, that's a good analogy. But that's what Caleb was doing. He went up there and he fought. Think about Caleb. Caleb went with Joshua, helped them fight all that stuff in Canaan, get them out, and then he comes up and says, I'm just as strong today as I was 40 years ago, which made him 80. And he had that 80 years old, he had to go over there and get that, he had to go fight them back off of that mountain.
Yeah.
But you know what he did?
Yes.
He did. That's the journey of the believer. He did what he said he was going to do. His heart's desire was to have that mountain. And if your heart's desire is to have this mountain, God will give you that mountain. You can have it. Oh, Zerubbabel, that great mountain. All right, so you look at mountains in the Bible, and then you see a prophet come up, and he said, the city is a pyramid-shaped
Amen.
Mountain.
Amen.
See? A pyramid-shaped mountain with all the believers inside that city, and it'd be a steady incline. Man just explained it. Well, hey, you know what? He had to bring that straight from the mind of God because nobody else knew that.
That's right.
So whether Brother Branham missed a date, I don't believe he did, and I don't believe he was wrong. If he was wrong, God corrected him. You and I are not supposed to.
Right.
All right. So I don't correct the prophet. I wasn't sent here to correct him. Brother Branham said direction of faith lies in those books and tapes.
That's exactly.
So I have to go in them, not on them. He didn't say direction of faith lies on them. He said it lies in them.
That's
so it's got to be a revelation. Own it, it'll kill you.
Right.
Own it, it'll kill you. In it, you'll find what you need. All right. So by faith, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You say, well, I don't have faith for this and faith for that. You have faith in the Word. Like I said many times, for my children, for my daughter, all the ones, the journey means nothing.
That's right.
God said I could have my kids.
Amen.
So there's my daughter sitting right there in that seat. That's what Abraham had to believe. Mm-hmm. Abraham said, God, you said I was going to have a baby. Now you take care of it. Because you can't save your children. You can't save. There's no man ever saved another man except Jesus Christ.
That's right.
No man. There's no man can save you except one. That's the Lord Jesus. All right. So you got to have that kind of faith. For he that cometh to God, cometh. Ongoing. Not just one time. Cometh. To God must believe that He is what? Is. He is. He's the great I Am. He is. And that He is a rewarder. There's your reward right there. Of him that diligently. Remember we were talking about diligent and dilatory? Totally different. Dilatory is lazy, shiftless. Doesn't do much. But diligent is somebody that gets up and goes to work every day and works all the time and does what he's supposed to do. Same way with a Christian. We must be diligent to seek Him. All right? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now, Noah, what was Noah doing? He's like, God, it ain't rained a drop since I've been alive, and I'm 600 years old. 600 years! And you say that you're going to flood this whole world with water? Where's it going to come from? I don't believe he questioned that. I believe he just said, God, you said it. We're going to do it. All right, let's go. We'll start at verse 7 next Sunday. Lord with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, turn it off.